Pickett, dreaming about a Premiership Cup. We love our clubs, but they never win. Two flags in 100 years.
The shit house.
Charlie, the Bulldogs have got two flags now.
I hate you.
If you think we'll be insightful, clever, or just well researched, we're here to say that's not the case. We'll just go out and wing it. We are two guys, one cup.
It is Wednesday, March the 29th. This is Two Guys, One Cup, an AFL podcast. My name is Will Anderson.
And I'm Charlie Clawson. Well done, mate. Well done.
You almost forgot to say your name because you were so excited that I got the start of the podcast right. It was like we were running out, and I traditionally always tripped over just before we get to the banner, and like I finally not tripped over, and while you were watching me not trip over, you've just run into one of the cheer squad people. How are you, Charlie? How do you feel after the first round of the AFL?
Is it too early to say I hate football?
I mean, no, I would have thought that after that game on the weekend, I imagine that's what you'd be thinking, that you hated football.
Yeah. I don't feel great about football. It wasn't the kind of, it hasn't been the exciting 3 or 4 days of consuming all media that I thought it would be. Been a lot of soul searching, Will. A lot of soul searching. A lot of going on St Kilda forums and seeing how triggered a lot of St Kilda people are right now. Very snowflakey down at Moorabbin, you might say. A lot of very fragile people calling for the coach's head, saying we've drafted badly, the sky is falling. It's pretty dire down there.
If you were going to go on what the most alarmist positions are amongst Saints fans so far, what do you think, where is the kind of energy going towards?
The alarmist one is that we have drafted badly, not getting Bontempelli when we got Billings, and not getting McCartan when we've got, not getting Petraka when we've got McCartan. That's where the fear is. Even though, like, you know, Billings actually had not a bad game. He's just in a side that lost by, you know, didn't kick a goal after quarter time, essentially. But McCartan's, I think that's a call. That's an early call. I think he's pretty brave to go up McCartan when he's played like 17 games.
You know, the interesting thing about McCartan is, like, it was interesting with him on the weekend because he didn't play in the end. He got pulled out, right?
Hamstring but awareness, Will. Did you know that? That's the new term.
Now, hang on. Yeah, but what is hamstring awareness? That feels like, you know, they're wearing like a black, you know, those black things they wear around their arms if like someone's granddad dies or whatever, or some club legend dies. It's like all the players are going out with a bit of black tape around their hamstring. Just like, oh, it's hamstring awareness round. The AFL's gone too far, Charlie. Why won't they just let footballers play football? And there's these constant rounds where we have to be aware of hamstrings.
Stop making it political, Will. That's all I'm saying. You know, calves get strained as well. What? When's going to be calf strain day?
Yeah, exactly, mate. And what about vegetarians? We can't enjoy a hamstring. What about that, mate? I thought the AFL was meant to be for everyone. This is bullshit. Yeah, what's that? What? But didn't he play the next day then?
So he played, he played controlled minutes at Sandy. So I think what has happened is he's felt some tightness. What?
No, controlled minutes. I'm glad we've got in heavy on hamstring awareness because the answer to hamstring awareness is controlled minutes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's the right term, but he played like a specific amount of time in the VFL, and my reading of it is that he didn't feel like he was 100%, and they didn't want to risk him, and so they said, well, let's, you know, see how he goes, limited time in the twos, and if he holds up, then, you know, he's a chance to come back next week. But I don't know, is that a new AFL-wide term, a hamstring awareness? Because I've only heard it in reference to Nathan Freeman and Paddy McCartan.
Oh, yeah, I think every year there's something, right? Yeah. Like, you know, and this year it's hamstring awareness. Last year it was syndesmosis.
Oh, that's right. Remember when the rage was all osteitis pubis?
Yeah, that was the original one, I reckon.
You know how old that one is? It's so old. It's in Latin.
Right. Yeah. They've obviously dumbed it down after nobody could say syndesmosis last year. They're just like, you know what? Hamstring awareness. We'll keep it fucking simple for these idiots.
Yeah. People keep arguing about, like, oh, should there be a game on Good Friday? When is it going to be a game on Hamstring Awareness Day, Will? That's what I want to know.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, Paddy McCartan probably now is he's the kind of figurehead for hamstring awareness. You know,
yeah.
We've always been asking, when will the first AFL player come out and as a gay person, you know, when will they come out publicly? I think we should applaud Paddy to be the first person who's been willing to come out and say, hey, I have a hamstring and we're aware of it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of gay players, I just wanted to mention this because we should talk about the AFLW Grand Final. It wasn't a great weekend for our tips, Charlie, but I'm glad that we both at least we picked the Adelaide Crows to win the AFL women's game. So that was one of them. But oh, gee, man, Erin Phillips, like this, you know, athlete that she is. I mean, she was stunning in that grand final. And this is a woman who, in 22 days or something, is going back over to America to play, in the NBA over there, women's NBA, WNBA. She's got a silver medal for Australia at the Olympics in basketball. She didn't get to do a preseason this season because she hurt herself in the lead up to a preseason. Her wife has just had twins, so she's up in the middle of the night, like looking after the twins and stuff. And she's just pretty much won every single award in the AFL. Like, she is a superstar.
Yeah, 100%. It's funny though. I did read a story where they talked about how she actually lied to her basketball team about the extent of her injury, the one that she was carried into the preseason. It's like, just going back to Australia for a holiday. Yeah, nothing to see. It's like, well, if you're going to keep a low profile, winning the Brownlow of the Women's League is probably not the best way to go about it.
Oh, mate, it's one of those things where she must not have told them what the game was. She must not have showed them any evidence of what the game was, because there's no way, if you were someone who's paying a professional basketballer all that money, that you would let them play Little League. You wouldn't let them play Auskick, let alone play in the actual AFLW. I mean, it's a crazy game, like physically. But she's amazing. And she was there with her wife.
Yeah. She won the MVP and the best and fairest. They haven't named the best and fairest yet, I don't think. But is that right? So she did a sweep.
On Monday, they had the AFL Players Association MVP, and she won that. And then last night, they had their version of the Brownlow. They haven't named it yet. They haven't come up with a name for the best and fairest. There's been a lot of
not a bad way to get it named, the Erin Phillips medal with the season she's had. You know what I mean? Like, generally, don't they give it to the first person to win it, sort of?
I don't mind that as an idea, because there was a lot of talk around before it started that the ideal person to call it would be the Daisy Pierce medal, right? Because the last 5 years in the women's competition, Daisy Pierce has essentially won the Brownlow of that competition pretty much. And she's been regarded as the best, female player that's really got them to this stage. But the problem is that Daisy Pierce is still playing. And Daisy Pierce, if she'd played an entire season, might have also been in the running for the Daisy Pierce medal. So yeah. I think that's the problematic thing. But I think you're right, Erin, particularly if she came back next year and won it again, you could imagine 30, 40 years from now that it might be called the Erin Phillips.
Do you think they'd wait that long to name it?
Well, no. I think if they're going to name it after someone who's come before, brought it up to this point, then of course they'll just name it next year or whatever. But if they want to name it after one of these women who has been in this inaugural AFL season, they have to wait 10 years or something, right?
Do you change the name of medals though? Does it happen? Has Chas Brownlow changed over the years?
On. You just keep it nothing until you name it after someone. I'm not saying you swap it. I'm not saying you call it, the Sue Alberti medal for the first 3 years, and then it becomes the Erin Phillips medal, and then it's like the Daisy Pierce medal, and then it's the Darcy Vessio medal. Although I don't mind that. Maybe it should just be named. Maybe it should be named after the previous year's title holder. So next year, everyone's going for the Erin Phillips medal. But then the year after, it's kind of like, I guess, like WrestleMania or being the champion in the WWE. Like, everyone's coming for you.
But won't there be an equivalent in the women's league of like the Shane Woden medal, where everyone's like, well, you could win it, but do you really want to win the Shane Woden?
Yeah, it'd be sad if that year you'd be like, I won the Scott Wind medal.
Yeah.
He was a good footballer.
So you must be feeling okay how round one went.
Yeah, I watched that game, and I was doing a show in Brisbane on Friday night, and I watched the first half, three quarters before I had to go and do my show. And first quarter, we looked great. Like, first quarter, I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, we've come back really strong. Like, I mean, Clokey obviously kicked that goal, which was like, fantastic. And he was moving well. Stringer was moving well. Everyone was kind of flying. But then Collingwood, they really smashed us in the middle, smashed us in contested possession. And you kind of forget that Collingwood has a really gun group of midfielders. Mm. Like, when you look at, like, Pendlebury, and you look at Sidebottom, and, guys like that, they have a lot of really Treloar, You know, they've got a lot of really, really good midfielders, and they played pretty well, I thought.
I don't think anyone forgets that. I think that's the one thing everyone mentions. Like, when you talk about Collingwood, you don't think it's their midfield, it's their deficiency. I mean, Scott Pendlebury is, like, one of the all-time greats. Like, he played in a losing side. Was it Thursday night? And, like, the game he played was, like...
Friday.
Jesus Christ. If, you know, like, I don't think anyone doubts that. That's the one thing I would say. I mean, we'll get to the Saints, but the one thing I'm nervous about is we don't have that one superstar. We have had one, but he's now 34 years old and won't be playing for a few weeks. But we don't have that one player that's like, you know, just a Rolls Royce at the moment, like a Pendlebury.
I got to be honest with you, though. When Riewoldt went down, like, and with that knee, it was one of those moments where I was partly devastated because I was like, oh, God, this would be a terrible way for him to finish. But there was another part of me that was like, this is your Bob Murphy moment.
Oh,
Charlie.
Yeah, right.
They're going to win it for Rui. He's 71 going to get up there.
Hashtag 71 undone.
Yeah, Alan Richardson's going to hand Nick Riewoldt his medal on grand final day. It's going to be brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't have the lateral thinking to think that in that moment. Well, I wish you'd been sitting next to me.
It'd be great if that had been Alan Richardson's plan. You know how they say every season that like people
try
copy
and copy the Premier, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of like more handballs. There's a lot like more people around the ball trying to run the ball really quickly. It'd be great if Richo was just like, hey, everybody else is going to concentrate on the quick handballs. Rui, I've got a job for you this season. I'd really like you to do your knee tragically. Round one, we reckon that's the thing that'll get us the grand final.
But wasn't Bob Murphy, he was at round three, wasn't he? Was it round two or three?
Yeah, round three versus
And you had won two on the trot. And so, yeah. Like, that's the problem. Richo went too early. Like, you guys had actually built up, like, the bandwagon was rolling. It'd been two impressive victories. You're taking on the reigning premiers. And then it happened. And that's what makes, you know, the final chapter so sweet. Like, Richo went way too early. Like, it was the last quarter of a game we were losing by 6 goals. It's like, well, it would be inspirational, but it's not the same inspirational.
Well, maybe he said it at three-quarter time. Maybe that was the thing. He's like, I've tried everything else.
Yeah,
all the training we did pre-season. Turns out that this is shit. We've recruited terribly. I've got to go. This is my last Hail Mary. Yeah. Rui, go out there and hurt your knee.
We will sell thousands of DVDs at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Well, I mean, you guys were coming off the high, obviously. I mean, it's hard to back up after the high of winning the JLT.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have just, you know.
Mad Monday
you probably
celebrations
too hard.
Went on too long.
Yeah, JLT hangover. That's what I'm calling that game. I think the Saints will be fine. It's just JLT hangover.
Yeah. Do we want to talk? What was the first game up on Friday night? We talked about the Tigers and the Blues on the last episode. Quick summary: right. Carlton did some okay things. Dusty's amazing. It's Richmond. Who can tell? So who was on Friday night?
That was the Bulldogs and Collingwood on Friday night. So
Have we talked about that enough? Is there anything else you want to mention about that game?
Well, I reckon the big talking point. You know, we should mention the whole cloak thing. You know, I mean, obviously he played pretty well, I thought. You know, again, I'm not sure he's in our best 22. I think there was a few players who played on Friday night who probably won't be in our best team at the end of the season, but they're clearly having a look at people in different positions. The reason I wasn't too worried about Friday night was, A, I think we did look a bit slow and sluggish, you know, just, that extra month of training. But the second thing was, we were really playing a lot of players out of position. You know, we Bontempelli spent a lot of time forward. Bob Murphy played forward for a while. Oh, that was worth mentioning as well, which was how great Bob Murphy came back. Because I was so worried, you know, that first time he gets the ball and he kind of moves sideways, you were just like, please, please let this be all right. We can't do it again. I thought he was fantastic. And that moment when Cloak, this has been the big discussion point here in Australia this week, is the Collingwood fans booing Cloak. When he was going for that goal. And I was watching it, and it's become a big thing where, like, a whole bunch of people have come out and gone, that was inappropriate, and it was too much, and he was actually a premiership player at the Pies, and this is disgraceful. And I'm like, that's footy. It's pantomime. Like, he kicked a goal. It just made it better. And the look on Joffa's face, like, they went to it on the coverage. It was brilliant. Like, after Cloak kicked this goal from outside 50 straight through the middle, they literally replayed Joffa almost in slow motion, just going, oh, fuck. I was like, this is great. Footy's great.
If anyone had been around any Collingwood supporters while Cloak was playing for them, they were stopping just short of booing him anyway. Like, I don't know. It's not like, Drew Petrie, you know, when he played against North Melbourne was, you know, got quite a respectful cheer, but Drew Petrie was a beloved kind of 300 game player for them. Travis Cloak was always a whipping boy. Like, half that Collingwood fan base wanted to boo him while he was playing for them.
Well, I that's probably the thing, Charlie. That's probably why the boo was so loud. That's probably why Collingwood had such a huge crowd. They were like, we've been saving up these boos for 2 years and we can finally let them out in a forum that's appropriate.
Yeah. It's like they've been seeing a pretty girl. She's come to visit in his apartment. As soon as he closes the door, he lets out that fart he's been holding on to for 30 minutes. Oh, God. That feels good. Travis Cloak's booze, the farts of the AFL.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's pretty much all from that game, I think, that we need to talk about so far. But
Melbourne, yeah, okay, and the Saints. Look, fuck, man. It was so disappointing. It was the manner in which we lost, Will. It wasn't... You can always take a loss, but they just... They seem tired. Like, I don't know if it's a training load thing or maybe, you know, the strain of winning the JLT, but they just looked sluggish. Like, it was one of those things where, you know, we've always lacked for kind of speed and stuff, but been pretty good with our ball movement. But then we just couldn't hit targets. There's nothing going on. I mean, thank God for Revolt. Like, he kicked 4 goals. He's easily our best player. But yeah, just so many guys down. And I mean, Melbourne looked really good too. That's the other thing is, I don't think anyone's underestimated them, but they've just now got a real good... They look a bit like Geelong in 2005, I reckon. They've just got a real good mix of sort of that running high forward type. You know, can switch to the midfield, good skills, really quick. They'll be good this year, Melbourne.
Yeah, they do look like they've stepped up properly now. Like, I mean, this was a big game for them because if they come into the season with all this hype... And then they'd failed again at Etihad again. If they'd failed again against St Kilda again, it could have really knocked them back. But they came out and did exactly what you would have hoped as a Melbourne fan they were going to do. And that, what's his name? Mills? Is Callum Mills? Is that his name?
No, that's Callum Mills? He plays for Sydney, doesn't he?
No, that's the Sydney guy. What's the Melbourne guy? Oh, fuck you. I only saw highlights
Oliver?
Of the game.
Which
Oliver.
One?
Maybe that's his name.
Toby Oliver in the middle?
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of someone else. I was watching another game at the exact same time, so.
Right. you were watching The Ghost of Mrs. Muir. How's that ghost? He's amazing. No, Will.
I'm more a Mrs. Muir fan, but you know.
they look really good. And the thing you really noticed is like Jack Watts not having to be to carry the load. He just looks so much happier on the ground. Like, you know, now you got like Jesse Hogan up forward and, Max Gorn's dominating and stuff. So he's, you know, he's sits comfortably outside their top 5, if not top 10 players, and he's the better for it. Like, he could just, you know, he can use his skills. He's good, like, judge. He's got a really good football brain and stuff. Like, I think they're going to be in good shape. I mean, the other thing, too, is they've had a really sort of, they've had a long time, well, not a long time, but there was no expectation under Paul Roos because of the nature of that contract. Like, he was always going after 2 years. So, in a way, the club kind of got a pass, if you know what I mean. Now that Simon Goodwin has the keys, if they had lost, it could have been disastrous. But now it's like, no, okay. Like, you know, new coach in, win. It's a really good start.
Yeah, it was like they were in previews for their show. Yes. No reviewers. No reviewers until round one, 2017.
Yeah. It's actually not a bad tactic. I mean, Jesse Hogan, too, is we just had no answer. And I've got to say, like, I thought before a game we're going to get to that, oh, Jake Carlisle looks really spent. But that makes sense. He's had a year off the game. I doubt any of those Essendon players will have the fitness to run a game out. Should we roll on to the next game, Will?
Yeah, fair enough. I can understand that. Hogan looked good, too, though. He looked fit. He looked like he was running around the field. Like, you were like, if you're a Melbourne fan, that's exactly what you would have wanted to see from Hogan.
Well, they're really skillful too. That's the thing. St Kilda's tactic in the first quarter was to force them to bomb it long because we've got enough kind of good marks and sweepers that we can just sort of chop it off. But then they just started lowering their eyes and they were just hitting targets like, you know, 30 metres in front of them, just all the zigzagging all the way up the field. And we looked like training cones. Like, it was really disappointing. I don't know. Going to West Coast next week? There we go. There's a nice tonic to bounce back. But yeah. Yeah, I'm feeling a bit glum.
Yeah, that's not the time to get West Coast. We'll get to that. All right. The next game was the... now, this is an interesting game, right? This is the
I believe I famously declared if Port Adelaide got within 10 goals, they should be proud of themselves. So,
well, they
did.
By
that logic.
They should be very proud of themselves.
Yeah, it was...
I can't believe... I mean, I think Koshy's been up in far north Queensland covering Cyclone Debbie. You've seen him on the news. You've seen him. And the thing about Koshy is he doesn't seem scared of the cyclone, Charlie. There's a newfound confidence around Port Adelaide, and it's even been reflected in Koshy's hosting duties on Sunrise.
They said Cyclone Debbie could lead to power outages because he wasn't worried about the power, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, they were good, Port. I watched this whole game and I reckon, Sydney, here's the thing about Sydney. Sydney will be better in 4 weeks. Again, like the premiership teams, the teams that played towards the end of the finals are behind on their preparation. Like a bunch of their stars still looked really good. It didn't look like there'd be major drop off for them. They definitely missed having Mitchell in the middle and the fact that Heaney's not playing with glandular fever. And then McVay was out as well. So you're kind of missing a fair bit of run and drive and carry.
If I was the nurse or the doctor looking after Isaac Heaney, I'd be taking like samples, like, you know, because with the glandular fever, he's probably spitting into cups and stuff like that. Just grab some of that mucus and take it to a lab and see if you can clone, like just sell it to all the clubs around there. Do you want some of Isaac Heaney's DNA? Like you can build yourself an amazing player.
Oh, I thought you were saying that, like, you know, the tactic of Sydney would be to give everybody else glandular fever.
Yeah, Isaac, go out and pash every single player.
Isaac, we're going to play you a week. We're going to play you a week earlier than you actually technically can. But your only job is to run up to everyone's best player and lick them.
They make him captain, so on Captain's Day during the photo, he can just go around sticking his tongue in everyone's ear.
If you could just run over to their bench, lick all the Gatorade bottles, and then run back.
I forgot about
Port Adelaide. Were good though. They were really good. Like, did.
And I'm getting depressed again because there was talk about Sam Powell Pepper, or whatever his name is, Sam Powell Pipper Popper Pat Depicta Pack of Pickles, going to St Kilda in the few phantom drafts because I think we could have got him and we didn't, and he looks like he's awesome. So, you know, it's great.
He was awesome. My highlight, though, was they interviewed Paddy Ryder after the game because obviously, you know, Essendon player out for a year. Played well, it turned out, Charlie, and had plenty of energy. But my favourite bit about was they interviewed him at the end of the game on live TV, and it was just one of those moments where you're just like, this is why I love live television, because he's clearly really happy and really excited to have had a win after all this time. You know, famously, he was back at Port Adelaide 1 minute after his suspension was up last year. Clearly, he's been working towards this day. And then they ask him what it's like, and he just goes, it's fucking great. Sorry, excuse the language. And I was like, yes, Paddy, it is fucking great. You're right. That is absolutely correct.
Have you forgotten about Sam Reid? I had.
Oh, yeah. Sam Reid looked good, though. See, this is the thing about Sydney. I reckon there was plenty of stuff to like about Sydney. Buddy was still moving well. Mm. Like, Sydney will be okay. I don't think they would be panicking. But I think the real story out of this game is, you know, Charlie Dixon looked good down front for Port.
I know.
You know,
clearly where our kiss of death works. We bag a player out, they kick a bag the next week.
I mean, like, he has one of the more ridiculous beards of all time in AFL too.
It's like, just, it's something about his persona. I don't know what it is. Like, he kind of looks a bit like, with that beard now, you know that douchey cokehead in Die Hard? You know, the one who tries to negotiate with the terrorists and John sees him get shot in the face in the boardroom. He's got like Hans, Booby, I'm your white knight. You know what I mean? Like, it's not Charlie Dixon's fault. I've never met him. He might be a great bloke, but he looks like the coked up yuppie scum from Die Hard.
Yeah, but he can mark and he can actually kick. So I think if he plays well, they'll be a good team. But the one that they really benefited from having back in top form was Ollie Wines. Like, he's just a monster in the midfield. And if he can have a season like he had 2 years ago, and he looks like he's going to, then I think they're going to be a much better team just because of that. Because it brings all those other guys, Robbie Gray and Boak and all those sort of guys, Wingard, it just brings them into the game because Ollie Wines just runs through packs. And pick a pack of Pepper, Cole Pepper, Cole Play, whatever his name is. He looks fantastic. That you'd be rapt to see a first game player play as well as he did.
Kick a goal from 60 metres out, like off one step. I mean, jeez, it makes me so happy for Port Adelaide. Next game, Michael, let's get this show done. I want this episode to be over. Right.
All right, Michael's favourite episode, favourite game.
Essendon took on the Hawks. And surprisingly, this group of Essendon players, suspended Essendon players, looked very sprightly.
Yeah, this was amazing. I mean, obviously, it was a pretty good weekend for Hawthorn players. You know, Sam Mitchell got 37 touches and Jordan Lewis got 35 or something.
Yeah.
Even better weekend for Carlton. Josh Kennedy kicked 7. Oh, they were Carlton players were on fire all around the league. Eddie Betts played well. But, yeah, this was one of those ones where you were just like, oh, wow, Essendon might be really, really good. Like, I mean, I didn't have him in my 8, but you got to start thinking that if they can maintain this for an entire season, if they don't get, like, tired halfway through the season, like, they looked fantastic. I mean, gee, they've got some good players. It was so good to watch, you know, guys like Dyson Heppel play again. Did you see that goal that Heppel kicked? Like, you know, just, oh,
Where he waves off BJ.
Oh, so, like, just, you're like, oh, yeah, the men are back. Like, you know, it's this is a real team now. And then you see, like, you know, McDonald, Tip and Woody, who, like, he's almost my favourite, like, player in the AFL at the moment, because that excitement, just the explosive speed he has in the forward line, the minute the ball goes to the ground, he almost, like, hulks up. He's like a mini Hulk. And he just has this, like, incredible, just, like, short, quick power. And he just goes, bah! And it's just the best. And so him and, like, oh, my God. I don't think I had ever seen Zach Merritt, like, you know, play in the way that people had been. I knew he was a good player, but I didn't watch a lot of Essendon games last year, so I just didn't quite realise how good he is, not only at getting the ball, but his disposal is amazing.
I mean, all those players, Will, you're right, are amazing. They're just exciting, they're daring, skillful. And then, you know, look at Hawthorn, and you have Tyrone Vickery. I mean, wasn't that great to see Tyrone Vickery doing exactly what he used to do at Richmond, just in the brown and gold? Like, he sort of just, like, floats around and, you know, you think he's going to do something, but no, he doesn't. Like, it's nice to see that Hawthorn have just adopted it. They just wanted, maybe it's like, you know, vaccination. You sort of, you get yourself a little bit sick, and that way you can ward off whatever disease is coming. So Hawthorn have given themselves this little injection of Richmond. It's just, it's like, oh, we'll just deal with it and we'll get used to it and then we can move on. It'll make us immune to being Richmondy.
No, I think it's going to be the opposite, actually, Charlie. I think it's like this round is perfectly set up for Richmond, because what happened was they had a great win and Ty Vickery played terribly, which is the two things as Richmond fans you would have wanted out of the first round. So that's just setting it up perfectly, right?
Yeah.
Until Richmond,
Ty Vickery kicks it back.
Yeah, the round they lose to someone they shouldn't, Ty Vickery will kick 12. That's what I predict.
No, that's right. If Hawthorn don't win another game until they play Richmond, and Richmond win all their games, you know they're going to lose that game. Tyrone Vickery is going to kick 12 goals.
I mean, this might be the flaw in Clarko's recruiting, because he's had an amazing success at taking players from other clubs and then making them even better than they were at those clubs. Tom Mitchell came in. You know, left off where he, like, picked up where he left off at Sydney. Brilliant game by him. Couldn't stop getting the ball. I think you'd be happy enough with Jaeger O'Meara's game for a first game back. He showed enough and he'll only get better, but I think you'd be happy with that. And Vickery was Vickery.
Yeah. I mean, he really was. Like, there are some players, I guess, who, you know, get to like 100, 150 games. Like, well done. But what did you do?
Stumbling my way to greatness, the Tyrone Vickery story.
I mean, how would you sort of define, you know, like, if you had to describe him as a player to someone, like, what, tall, forward, resting ruckman? Like, what are his attributes, Will? You're going on about attributes before. What are Ty Vickery's attributes?
I mean, he's tall.
Yep. Has got that weird hair.
And he's kind of athletic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he occasionally does dumb things, doesn't he? Like, didn't he punch someone right in front of an umpire once? Or did he punch an umpire?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And remember last year in the preseason, he took an imaginary mark?
Oh,
he just flew for a mark to a ball that just wasn't there.
In his defense, he had been, like, concussed, I believe. I don't want to be making fun of someone.
I think he was concussed when he was born. That might be the problem. They might have dropped the baby on the floor. And since then, he's been in a permanent state of concussion.
We've mentioned this before, but like I've seen interviews with Tyrone Vickery and he seems like such a likable guy. Part of me is like, dude, everything else in your life seems to be going really well. You know, you seem to do a lot of community work, got a good job, seem like you're in a good relationship. Why would you invite this kind of like, two dickheads who don't even know you saying this kind of shit? Why would you invite that into your life?
Well, maybe he's so happy in the rest of his life, he needs something in his life that he isn't good at. Maybe he's one of those people who's perfect at everything else. And he's like, you know what? I've got to take up some sport I'm no good at just to bring me back to the ground.
That's a long title for his autobiography. You know what? I'm so good. I thought I'd pick up a sport that I'm actually no good at.
And refuse to get any better at any stage.
Are you worried about the Hawks at all?
Well, you know, when we were picking our eights and I kind of tossed up between whether I thought Hawthorn or Geelong would make the eight, and I ended up going with Hawthorn and said Geelong wouldn't make the eight. Look, after round one, and the thing you got to remember, Charlie, is it's just round one. Yeah. Round one form can be very misleading. You shouldn't make a whole bunch of rash predictions just based on round one. I mean, the Bulldogs won round one by 70 points last year and were the premiers, but, you know, let's...
Do you know the Bulldogs and the Swans were 1 and 2 on the ladder after round one last year? And you know
who's right?
And you know who's 1 and 2 now?
No, Adelaide and Geelong. Yeah, you could see at this stage, if you had to after round one just go, could Adelaide and Geelong play in the grand final? Yeah, you could make an argument for that being the case.
Adelaide, 100%. We'll get to that game. Let's move up to the Q Clash.
Now, I mean, this is the one, Charlie. We've said it before. We will continue to say it again. When it comes to the Q Clash, all bets are off.
Yeah.
That's the excitement of the Q Clash. People just don't know. Yeah. It's a mystery, the Q Clash.
Yeah, all bets are off, and also all beer taps are off because there's no one there to drink it, so they didn't want to waste money leaving those stalls open.
I mean, they had more people at the AFL Women's Grand Final than they managed to get for the men's game at the exact same stadium later that night. And this despite the fact that the AFL broke its record, over 400,000 people went to the AFL in the opening weekend, and they managed to get, 13, 14,000 at Metricon for the Q Clash.
Yeah, that's the equivalent of, you know, when the Star Wars prequels were they were releasing the trailer for The Phantom Menace. And apparently people were going to see this crappy Bruce Willis movie just to see the trailer, and then they would walk out. That's what's going on there. People are like, I want to see that awesome thing, even if it's just like a shorter version of, and I'm going to walk out before this rubbish starts.
Yeah, they should have played the women's grand final in between the two halves of the men's. They should have played the first half, then played the entire women's grand final, just so they could have doubled the crowd, then second half. I mean, it was an interesting game. I don't know if you saw much of it, but Brisbane looked really, really fantastic early on, and then Gold Coast really nearly charged them down towards the end.
Yeah, I only saw the first quarter, so I was expecting to see Brisbane won by 100 points. But it comes back to what you say about Gold Coast. It's like they're just so whatever, you know what I mean? Like you'd almost prefer that they had actually lost because they came back and only lost by 2 points. Like, well, I don't know. Like... were they just not trying for that first fucking half or what's going on? But you just can't get a beat on them at all. And, you know, apart from Tony Cockering, I have no interest in that club. Like, I also, and it's nothing against Rodney Ead, I just reckon they've got to sex it up a bit. It's like you got the bloody crusty old Dean in charge of the fraternity, you know? They need, you know, Fonzie, not bloody Mr. Belvedere. Sorry, I ran out of 80s references.
Who do you think would be a good Gold Coast coach? Like, who do you think is the right person for that job? Because they went originally with McKenna, you know, a kind of younger guy, meant to have more connection with the players, first-time coach, and, you know, maybe that didn't work out, although in retrospect, you know, maybe they were a bit harsh on him. Who do you think, like, you know, if, say, Rocket isn't there at the end of the season, who do you think would be a good Gold Coast coach?
Kappa! I mean, come on,
mate,
Will.
Could he combine his duties as a mayor of the Gold Coast with also coaching the team?
No one knows the Gold Coast better than the Wiz. That's all I'm saying to you. He'd be a great coach, Will.
Hey guys, you gotta come from behind like I did in me porno. Kappa.
Hey guys, I'll let you know, just a little bit of a treat in the car park. I've got some of the Mina Maids. Yeah, go Wiz.
Yeah. Hey guys, I reckon your shorts aren't tightened up. Kappa, Gold Coast.
I don't know. Look, I'm not who's the most promising assistants out there? Who hasn't got a job yet?
Well, do you go with Steve, the first time coach?
Lenny Hayes. Send Lenny Hayes up there. Isn't he like assistant coach at, under Leon Cameron or something?
Yeah, Lenny Hayes would probably be good. They need a bit of Lenny, don't they? They need someone who could go up there and just go, guys, this is how it's got to be.
I just think, yeah, I think they need, well, you know what they need? Is that they need a Bevo type because right. they need someone who's kind of young enough that because they're still so such a young side, they need someone young enough that kind of all the young dudes feel comfortable talking to, but still has enough kind of like authority to talk to Gary Ablett and stuff.
Well, it's got to be one of two things. I don't even know why we're like you're guessing because it's got to be one of two things, right? It's either got to be one of Alistair Clarkson's assistants. Yeah. So we look at whoever's his assistant because that's normally how it goes. Or if you want to go the step further, you got to look at one of Bevo's assistants. You might go to that. You go, we've got to get inside that system. So, you know, what about Daniel Gian Siracusa?
Yeah, yeah, him, that guy. It's easier. It's harder to say than Kappa, but...
Right, but I think that, you know, Gia's got that, like, you know, he's got that nice olive skin, you know,
he's good-looking.
Look good on the Gold Coast.
He would. Yeah, I think he'd look good in red and gold.
Yeah.
All right, new coach. Sorry, Rocket, you're out of a job.
All right, we should keep
next
going.
Game. Well, yeah, we've got, well, we got like 10 minutes, right?
Yeah, 10 minutes. Yeah, this was brutal. West Coast versus North Melbourne. I watched the first kind of three quarters of this and West Coast looked amazing. They just looked great, West Coast. They looked ready to go. Kennedy was on fire. Like Sam Mitchell just, you know, all those things that you worry about with West Coast, you know, that they can't travel or they're flaky or that for whatever reason you just don't feel like they could win it. You put Sam Mitchell in there and then suddenly you go, yeah, that was your missing link, wasn't it? You just needed someone like Sam Mitchell who knows exactly what he's doing and can tell all you idiots what to do. And I think they're going to be very, very hard to beat.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was brutal. I mean, I sort of felt like it was expected. North Melbourne, they're just that good old reliable AH Holden, aren't they? You know, they just sort of chuck along and they can really, you know, I guess Goldstein's a bit of a superstar, but, you know, they also seem to lack a bit of that silk. And West Coast, yeah, you're right. They're kind of in the Adelaide category, aren't they? The only question mark is really about them in Melbourne, but that's not like they have a shortage of stars.
Nah, they look really, really, really good at the moment, I'm going to say. And I'm already.
You know what? I don't even want to contemplate how good they are because of who we're playing next week. But yeah, you're right. They're fucking awesome. Great. Move on.
Yeah. All I'm going to say is let's get them back on the drugs. It might be the time to get the West Coast Eagles back on the drugs because otherwise, I think there's going to be a lot of trouble for the rest of the competition this season.
Adelaide downed GWS. A very disappointing GWS, you'd have to say, Will.
Yeah, now this was one of those games where you just couldn't quite tell. Did GWS just rock up thinking it was all going to happen? And if that is the case, like if they go into this season just thinking, everyone's told us we're going to win the premiership, if we just keep playing, we'll just win the premiership. I think that's their best chance not to win the premiership. And I hope that is the case. I hope that they're going to be overly cocky and they're going to fuck up. That's kind of my hope for GWS for this season. But Adelaide... Man,
it could be a bit of that, or it could be their opposition rising to the challenge. Like, no one is going into a game against GWS thinking they can just, you know, wing it. All right, we had a bit of a drop out there. Will's in a hotel room with unreliable internet, but yeah, Adelaide looked amazing. They were pretty impressive, right? I mean, nothing new, but geez. Like Eddie Betts just marking down for four goals a game, right? 3 to 4 goals. He's just going to get them.
And the other thing is, like, they were missing Tex Walker and Rory Sloane, right?
Yeah.
So they're only going to get better. Yeah, they're going to be a really, really good team, Adelaide. I mean, I don't think anyone didn't think they were going to be, but they're going to be a really, really good team this season. The final game of the round was Geelong over Fremantle. Now, I don't know if Fremantle are any good, and I don't think they're going to be great, but... Geelong played well enough that it made me a little bit worried about my prediction that they wouldn't make the eight. Tom Hawkins looks fitter than he has in years. And obviously, you know, Selwood and Dangerfield and those guys are just such good players.
Dangerwood, yeah. I mean, it felt like Paddy spent a bit more time up forward, which is just like, oh, man. Like, it's like this year, if Dustin Martin and Paddy Dangerfield are going to spend more time up forward, then that's just going to suck for the rest of us.
Well, I mean, and also, you know, Gary Ablett Jr. is going to play more time up forward. Bontempelli, it looks like, is going to. I think you're going to find those damaging gun midfielders are going to try to hurt you on the scoreboard. And, yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to man up on those people. But I think it's great for the competition. Hey, I have to go really quickly. This is a short episode today because we just wanted to squeeze one in. But I'm starting at the Melbourne Comedy Festival tonight. So I have to go and do a sound check. Technically in 5 minutes, but let's just race through our predictions for this round, hey?
Okay. You did say race through, right, didn't you?
Yeah, I said race. And if I didn't, let's edit in race. Let's race through.
Okay. Starting on Thursday night, Richmond are taking on the Pies at the MCG. Good game, I think. Obviously, two big draws. If you can get down to the MCG, if you can still get a ticket, this will be a ripper.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be a massive crowd. I can see the MCG from my balcony of my hotel room, so I might have a little peek in, from the balcony before my show. But, yeah, brilliant game. Don't know. I don't know about this one. Richmond looked good, and I thought Collingwood looked, pretty good against the Bulldogs. I reckon this could be a really close game. But let's just say I don't reckon losing to Collingwood is Richmondy enough. So I think at the moment, just on the Richmondy scale, I'm going to say it'll be more Richmondy to build up everyone's hopes a little bit more, beat Collingwood. You know, I think that's the better story. And plus, you know, that'll mean Collingwood have lost the first two. Suddenly the heat comes on Buckley. I'm going to barrack for the story in this game. So I'm going to say Richmond. You, Charlie?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. They didn't really beat anyone of note last week, so the bandwagon isn't rolling at full steam. But they beat the Pies. Then I don't know who they're playing in round three, but that'll be a Richmondy moment. I reckon they're going to win, and that's my lock of the week. Moving on to the to Etihad Stadium on Friday night, the Western Bulldogs take on the Swans in the grand final rematch. The unfurling of the flag? No, you did that last week.
Yep, we're unfurling. No. That was a Collingwood home game last week. We unfurled the flag at Etihad this weekend. Huge unfurling issues down at the club this week. Obviously, the person who unfurled in 1954 is probably dead. So we don't have any kind of current experience of unfurling down at the club. It's one of those issues that no one really thinks about very much, is unfurling. So I've heard that it's been a big week of practicing unfurling, getting ready for some unfurling. I reckon this will be a really close game. Sydney will be stung by both the grand final and also, I think, just starting a bit slow last week. And I'm not sure the Bulldogs are at full strength yet either. But Etihad, flag unfurling, grand final replay. I'm going to say the Western Bulldogs.
Dale Morris, big out for you guys. I reckon that's really going to make things tough over the next couple of months for you guys, especially when you're playing teams that have forwards like Lance Franklin. But I don't know, Will. I think it's, your first unfurling. I think the Bulldogs are, I think there's going to be too much riding on this. So I'm going to say the Bulldogs. Moving on to Saturday MCG, Hawthorn takes on Adelaide.
Oh, the only other thing I was going to say is Rampy's out for the Swans. Yeah. So I know Dale Morris is a huge out for us, and I was a bit disappointed seeing he played in the final series with a broken back, that he can't play now with a broken leg. But, all right, Dale, if you want to make your own choices. But, I think Rampy's a huge loss for Sydney as well, so I think that evens it out a little bit. So, all right, Saturday, Hawthorn versus Adelaide at the MCG. Now, this is one of those games. I'm in Melbourne on Saturday, and I'm tempted to go to this. I reckon this would just be a fantastic game of football. You know, the champion Hawks stung after last week against the Crows. Let's see how legit the Crows are. Let's see if they can travel to Melbourne, play at the MCG and beat the Hawks. Because if they do, and if they smash them, then I think that the early news is all going to be around Adelaide in this competition.
Will Sloane or Tex be back for this game, do you know?
Tex will be back, I would think.
If Sloane's back in, I'd say Adelaide. If not, I'll say Hawthorn. Midfielder's game, I reckon.
I'm going to say Adelaide. I'm going to get on the Adelaide bandwagon, and I'm going to say Adelaide at the MCG. Then Saturday we've got the GWS Giants up against the Gold Coast Football Club at Spotless Stadium.
They're going to pound them. The Giants are going to pound them. They're going to have to. They're at home. Disappointing week last week. A lot of raps. They're going to look to beat up on someone, and I think that Gold Coast, their little brother, essentially their little expansion club little brother, they're going to put him in a headlock and give him a noogie. They're going to kneel on his chest and give him a typewriter and spit into his open mouth. It's going to be ugly.
Yeah, there's going to be a time where one of the GWS players is holding down a Gold Coast player and farting in their face.
And that's my luck of the week.
Luck of the week. All right, the Brisbane Lions take on Essendon at the Gabba.
I think everyone felt good about last week, but come on. Essendon looked the goods. this would be a good chance for them to sort of get some away from Melbourne credentials. I can't see the Lions winning this. I'd love it if they did. I think that would be amazing. I think that would be good for everyone. It'd be good for Queensland football. But I think Essendon will kill them.
Yeah, I agree.
Next. Well, speaking of bloody slaughters.
Now, Charlie, the West Coast Eagles take on the St Kilda Football Club at Domain Stadium, at Penis Stadium. When it comes to the Saints, without their best player, Nicky, obviously, tough road trip going over to West Coast there. It's hard to beat them over there.
Yeah. No Armitage as well. He's pulled out with he's got a calf complaint, I think. So no Armitage, no Revolt. Jesus.
I think Armitage has calf awareness, doesn't he?
Last time we played these guys, they beat us by over 100 points. I think we kicked 3 goals the entire game. So if we can kick 4 goals, I reckon we'll be doing all right. I don't know, man. Look, I really want to back us and I really want to say we could win this, but I don't know. I mean, if they bring that same effort last week, the only thing, what will be a victory for us if we don't win on the scoreboard was to actually see them put in for 4 quarters, because last week was just garbage.
Yeah, West Coast for me too. Geelong versus North Melbourne at Etihad Stadium. I'm just going to keep this simple. Geelong.
Yeah, I mean, come on. do I look like an asshole?
At some stage, I'm going to have to start picking them to lose some games for them to miss the 8. It'll be me every weekend just going, yeah, Geelong. Yeah. Geelong will probably win this too. But they'll still miss the 8. Geelong will probably win this too. But yeah, I reckon Geelong. Melbourne versus Carlton at the MCG on Sunday.
Yeah, it has to be the D's, right? In the same way that GWS are going to do some push-ups and then beat the crap out of Gold Coast, I think Melbourne will do the same thing to Carlton.
Yeah, absolutely. The only hope for Carlton is that, you know, you look at that Melbourne team and you look at the young guns that Carlton have and think we could be that team in 3-4 years.
At some stage of this game, someone from Carlton is going to get an atomic wedgie. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, no, Wiedering is down with a wedgie. Now, we'll go down to the sidelines. It looks like an atomic wedgie. Is it an atomic wedgie?
Yeah, you'll see that the straps are above his shoulders. That is definitely an atomic wedgie.
Yeah, wedgie awareness week, so this is a good one. And last game of the round, Port Adelaide versus Freo at the Adelaide Oval. Now, I think this is big for Adelaide, for Port Adelaide, because you got to do it 2 weeks in a row. First round was fantastic, but if they come back second round and don't play with the same intensity and same game style, then, you know, they'll be the Port Adelaide of old that you just can't trust. But I would have thought that this should be a pretty good win for Port Adelaide as well.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if they lose in convincing fashion, then I reckon Ross Lyon might be feeling a little bit of the heat, if you know what I mean. The proverbial heat.
Like, doesn't he have like 8 years left on his contract or something? He's fine.
He's got 8 life sentences.
Mate, he probably doesn't even want to coach for that long. He probably signed for the whole thing and then he's just been running it into the ground hoping they have to pay him out for 3.5 years. He and his wife have probably planned a European vacation. And he's like, how soon can I get there? I tried to drive our best player out of the club. I kept bloody Zach Dawson on the list. Like, how soon will they sack me? Just pay me out.
Do you have anything to promote?
I'm at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And then I'm at the Sydney Opera House on April the 8th. We are doing a live TOEFOP, our podcast, our other podcast. We're doing a live show on Saturday, April the 16th at the Comedy Theatre in Melbourne.
No, April 15th.
Isn't it
April 15th? What did you say? Did you say 16th or 15th? Hang on.
I did say 16th.
I'll look at the post.
Now we should look it up, I suppose.
Again, another one of these things we should have worked out before we came on.
It might be, you know what? It might be the 15th. You might be right, actually. Hang on.
Michael, can you check when our show is?
It's good to see that I got at least one date wrong in this podcast, Charlie. it's the 15th. You're right. Absolutely. At Saturday, April the 15th at 10:45. Those tickets went on sale to pre-sale yesterday and a third of the tickets sold out, before they've even officially gone on sale. So if you want to come and see the live TOEFOP, we do have one confirmed guest at this stage, which is Daniel Sloss.
All right.
They said that he will do it, which is exciting. And, of course, John Deeks will be part of that show, and there'll be heaps of other superstar guests from all over the festival for that. And then I'm on tour. I'm actually in Perth the weekend that the Bulldogs play West Coast in Perth. So I'll be – my venue where I play in Perth is down the road from the stadium. So I think I'll be doing a show at the exact same time, but I'll be able to hear the roars or the silence. Let's hope there'll be more roars of laughter coming from my room than there'll be roars of emotion coming from Domain Stadium. But Darwin and Perth are all still to come.
Play on, not 15.
Ball.
We are two guys, one car.